Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Trades are hard.
Oh, baby, trades are hard. Trades are hard. We're going to get to Steve Kerr. We're going to get into some football here. Zay Flowers is going to play for the Baltimore Ravens. That could flip my pick. They need Zay in this game against Buffalo.
Flip the pick?
Flip the
Write
pick.
That down. That's
flip
a great name pick. For a game.
Flip my pick. Flip the pick. That's actually cool. Instead
yeah,
of
I knew you'd
flipping
like that.
And flopping, flip the pick. Flip the pick. pitchers and catchers report next month. We got all-star stuff. We're going to get a lot of to go to St. Louis and what Draymond and Steph and Steve Kerr's had to say. But last night was a beautiful day in the city. I was in the city, in and out. We had lunch over there at the O Club, Shasky.
That was great.
With a couple people. It was awesome. Matt Shows, Sarah Monty Ford. Of course, our boy Kenny Wardell. We were chilling with Sarah Monty Ford. And look, you went to the Bruce Mahoney game. I went to a theater class down in Belmont.
Oh, nice.
With Baby Chaz, me and Chester, one-on-one. So I got to miss the Bruce Mahoney, which is at Chase Center, and seeing all the pictures and the videos. The Bruce Mahoney, longest running rivalry west of the Mississippi between Sacred Heart Cathedral and St. Ignatius High School. Usually playing at War Memorial Gym at USF, but they moved it to Chase Center this year. And I know you were in the building, and I want to get your thoughts on everything happening around Chase Center. Drive City, the Bruce Mahoney game, because it looked like it was a great timeout for everybody involved in the parties on both Sacred Heart and SISI. Well, both games, the girls and the boys game, but more importantly, those kids got to play at Chase Center.
You know, I'm a native San Franciscan, you're a native San Franciscan, and to me, it was a celebration of all that's good in the city, and not just about private schools or anything. No, it's just about like the revitalization, and this city has been at a low point for a long time. And again, as a native San Franciscan, going to Chase Center, I love going to USF. It was great. It was always great going to USF because it's tiny, but yet it's got so much history. But for these kids who grew up obviously loving the Warriors in the decade that they've had of excellence, and then you play at Chase Center on the water for one of the biggest games that you've been dreaming about since you were in kindergarten or first grade or second grade for a lot of these kids, and to have it in the heart of downtown San Francisco, essentially, and it was just so cool. It was so cool. And I got to say, Thrive City, and we'll get into all this. Yeah. You know, we went to K-Fico prior. Yeah. There's a birthday party for little Jimmy G, and what a beautiful restaurant.
Jimmy G, have a good time.
Oh, my God. We had a great time. The pizza is incredible. We had pepperoni, sausage, cheese. There's so much. They had these chips that were outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
These unbelievable chicken wings. But the setup, like I told Michelle, I turned her, I said, I would take you on a date here on a non-Warrior game night. Just a beautiful setup to see the bands out front in Thrive City and everybody hanging out. Look, from afar, all these different outlets are going to tell you San Francisco's dead. Is it not last night? And it was so special to see everyone in there. And then on a personal level, there's a lot of young women that play on both teams, Sacred Heart and SI. And I've had the opportunity to coach them or coach against them. And to see all of these girls just play their butts off in that first game and how much it meant. And I know to my niece Megan, it meant everything. I had a tear in my eye at the end of that game because I know how hard she's worked in a empty parking lot at St. Cecilia's, shooting buckets against all the older boys. And I know how many empty gyms that she's worked on with whatever coach just to get to that point, to play that kind of game against that school, her rival, and give it all.
At Chase Center.
Now, it was special. Special night.
I wonder what locker rooms they use. I wonder if they use the NBA locker rooms and the Warriors locker rooms. They probably had to. I wonder where they if they got to use the NBA locker rooms. If anybody knows, let us know on the text line, 888-957-9570. But Thrive City, you bring it up.
It was so cool.
And down the street, what did they call it? It's Thrive City. They didn't have all the food trucks down the street. I always go SF Social. SF Social, I believe that's the name, where I'm at Izzy's Cheese Steaks, and, you know, you get all the food trucks, different foods, yeah, yeah, whether it's Mexican, Thai, or whatnot. And that entire area, where Thrive City, and you got Dumpling Time, Gots,
so cool,
K Fico, as you mentioned, Harmonica Brewery, yeah,
and then you got
Senor Seasig is just going to do their ribbon cutting Friday. They're going to do their that right next to Burma. So everything is just popping. Like, before the game, you're like, where do we eat? Yeah. Where do we go? Oh my gosh, do we just walk around? And then down the street, they're going to have Splash City, this big old bar, which is going to be two levels with all kind of TV screens and everything. So that area is going to be, it's like a mini city now.
It really is.
Think about how far that area of the city has come, Shasky, in just 24 years. Once Oracle Park got built,
yes,
before Oracle, there was nothing, empty warehouses, yeah, whatnot. We drive down, there was no man's land. Now you look at it, you're like, am I downtown?
Bonte.
Am I getting close to downtown?
It's so unbelievable. And like Mission Rock, across the street, everybody, yep, was hanging out and partying prior. Shout out the Osborne family. It feels like a slice of something that's suburbia, yep, not San Francisco, in how safe and clean and new everything is over there. And just, I would say, everything's elite. The food, the atmosphere,
oh, yes,
the weather, the views, everything about it. And then going into the stadium, the amount of people who got to sit in seats they would never be able to afford to sit in for a Warrior game. I must have heard from 50 people, I've never sat this close to a basketball game in Chase Center in my life. It was unbelievable. And look, I got family that have gone to both schools. You know what I mean? I got my niece who's playing for SI, and they ended up winning the girls' game. They ended up winning the boys' game as well. But I thought it was a beautiful night of everything that's right about sports, just in general.
High school sports.
And community coming together. You know what I mean?
Right.
Daniel Lurie was there, the mayor.
Yeah, I saw that. Saw him sitting on the bench with was it the girls or the boys team from SI?
Yeah, he was with the boys
team. Making the rounds.
Yeah, oh, he was definitely
making
the
rounds.
definitely making the rounds. But it was a great night. And I told John Mulcairns, who's the athletic director at St. Ignatius, I said, tonight was a special night. And having watched a lot, like I said, a lot of these girls spend, you know, and I know some of the boys as well, spend over a decade of their lives to try to get ready for this game as juniors and seniors and to put themselves at the forefront because it really matters to them. God, it was such a special night. And I just, I know there's other matchups like that in the Bay Area. Man, I tell you, the Chase Center, they didn't just hit a single. They didn't just hit a double.
Slam.
They hit a freaking grand slam.
They hit a grand slam over there. Spark Social is what it's called. Spark Social down the street. Spark Social, sometimes after the show, I'll drive down there and grab me a bite to eat before I go home. Spark Social, where I know employees that go to St. Louis will go over to eat. I see them a lot of times over there at lunchtime. So you got Spark Social. You have Thrive City. You have all the food spots at Chase Center. Chase Center doing a good job. They also host Liquid League and University when they play against each other.
Yes.
They use Chase Center because for many years, Liquid League and University would go over to Oracle Arena and play a basketball game. And it would split the arena in half where you got the student sections right next to each other. So Chase Center opened up their doors to not only high school basketball, college basketball, you're getting women's college basketball up here. You got tournament games coming up here. You know, it's just a matter of time before the women's Final Four comes up to the Bay Area. Yep. That area, they've done such a great job. Credit to the Golden State Warriors, Joe Lacob and company. But now you get the Bruce Mahoney down there. It'll get bigger. The teams will get better. It'll be a who's who because a lot of teams, what happens is with the Bruce Mahoney is all the other high schools want to go.
Yes.
The public school kids, the Washingtons, the Galileos, the Thurgood Marshalls, the Lowells, they want a piece of the action. It's like I just remember growing up going to the Bruce Mahoney game. We were like, you know what? We just want to be in the mix.
Exactly.
You wear your team's jersey, your school colors, you meet other people from other schools, you watch a game. It's a city spotlight with all these high schools coming together and all these kids coming together. It's always a good time, man. Always a good time. So I'm glad you had a great time yesterday.
You know, I was looking into the crowd, and, you know, Rocco brought his daughter. And so you got Vale out there, and she's in kindergarten. And she's playing a lot of sports right now, junior Warrior basketball. Right. She's a really good soccer player. And she's seen these girls that are, you know, 15 times her size. And this is where the spark and the love of sports comes from, watching others that you can relate to. And I saw all the different boys that I coach that are in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Some of them have no affiliation to any of the high schools, right? Mm. They don't care. Yeah. They're just there because they want to play on a stage like that. Right. I know we lose our minds and we're going to talk Warriors at some point. And, you know, how much does Brock Purdy make or whatever? at the essence of sports, what you see like in these high school matchups, there's a purity to it.
Yep.
When I watch these games, and you know, we talk about the Turkey Bowl game at Kezar.
Thanksgiving Day for the Academic Athletic Association.
How do you even begin to describe that to someone who's not from this area?
Well, you know what's crazy? Turkey Day, and I haven't been in the last few years, and I feel bad about it. But even Coach Adam, who we know from City College San Francisco, he's an SI guy. Now his brother Mark taught at Mission for many, many years, so he was in the public school sector. And you'll get a text from a guy who went to SI. Are you at Turkey Day this year? So it's still the thing in the city. It's city pride in terms of all the turnover and what's happening with our city and small businesses. I was walking through Bloomingdale's last week.
Yeah.
Walking through Bloomingdale's. I was waiting on a haircut, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a walk, get some exercise. Had to fix a cell phone. And there were so many empty shops.
Sad.
Inside of Bloomingdale's. It was sad. The Bloomingdale's that we come to.
Legitimately sad.
What is going on around here?
Yeah.
What's happening? So that Bruce Mahoney game, that Turkey Bowl, that Lick and University game down in Chase, that's what we have to hold on to. It's a piece of the city, a piece of the city. And even in, I remember when Arkansas came out here, they were like, we get a slice of Chase Center. We get a slice of Chase. It meant something to be out on the West Coast and in San Francisco. Remember Coach K, Jason Dumas asked him the question about San Francisco hoops. And Coach K goes on this 5-minute monologue about the rich tradition of hoops in the city. I was like, okay, all right, we got something here. So it was good to see the city spotlighted yesterday at Chase Center, man. It looked like a great night.
It was just a beautiful night. And, you know, I know you're somebody that, not that you're numb to it, but you're there all the time. I don't get to go that often. And so when I go, it's still special to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's really special to me. And I realized, like, Oracle was awesome, and it's going to be very difficult to ever replicate that atmosphere and just that vibe and everything about it. This is something unique, and it's something different. And I know I'm jaded, and I'm a city guy, so my perspective is going to be different than others that maybe hold Oracle in even a higher regard than I'm giving it. But to see all these high schoolers play on that court where Steph Curry's going, and I watched my niece Erin put out a video of her sister hitting a three. It's not Steph Curry. It's Meghan Manning.
Right.
I thought that was really cool, man. I get emotional. Like, I'm almost crying because I see how much hard work these kids. Some of these kids are going to go on to play.
Right.
Most of them aren't. Right.
Yeah, no and this doubt. Is like it's the last pinnacle. Hurrah.
Yeah, and you know what? If that's the pinnacle, that's freaking awesome. Because you know, I heard from my buddy, whether it's Jim, my buddy Rocco, my buddy Danny V. These games that you play in, you're going to talk with your friends forever about them. I don't want to be like Bruce Springsteen glory days, but it's true. These are the funnest times
because
you're playing with your boys.
And it's the roots.
Yes.
Like, it's the roots of what we know, which is why, you know, some people say, man, why do you go to all these high school games? That's where it all began for me. High school sports. That's what gave me my greatest joy growing up in the city. You know, I still remember on a random, what was it, a Wednesday or Thursday night when Galileo's going over to SI for a state playoff game. And I get on the K Eagle side to go to SI by myself to go watch this game. And then, so you know, you see some friends there and you're watching a classic game between a public and private school that had the city. Everybody was out in the city. It was a great game. Yeah. Shout out to the Walls brothers. Shout out to Luke Whitehead and Anthony DeVora.
Amazing.
But that's home.
Yes.
That's roots. When I go to these high school games and you get the same feeling because you coach these kids, it's UIO. You see them at a younger age and you see them mature.
I see the work.
The high school players,
in.
No doubt. You see the maturity or whatnot. You see the growth. That's home. It feels like you're at home when you're watching these high school games. It's like, I belong here.
Yeah.
This is why I feel comfortable here. This is where it's at. Because we get lost in pro sports. You get jaded with championships. You get jaded with the parades down Market Street and everything that goes into the pro sports game. And when people realize that, oh, this is more of a business than I thought it was, you know, it can jade you at times. But look, man, you talk about Chase Center and what's happening there. The Warriors will be back there on Saturday. And I wonder what type of reception, pardon me, they'll get from the fan base. Because tonight's a big night for them.
Oh, God.
They're a game under 500. They're entering the game under 500 for the first time all season. And they're taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who they beat 2 out of 3. And they're a team that's ascending. And we know they have Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert. And, you know, the hope is that Draymond can play. The hope is that you get a full squad at some point here. Gary Payton II's supposed to come back. Pods is out. We thought he'd come back on a road trip. He's not. But with the quotes of Steve Kerr, Draymond, and Steph over the last 24 to 48 hours, and we're going to get into the sound on the other side, the Warriors are in a weird spot. And I just wonder, if they lose this game tonight, and say hypothetically they have a slow start against Jordan Poole's Washington Wizards on Saturday. Where is the psyche of the Warrior fan at? Because I might as well just play it now.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday. He joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday.
They did a great job.
They did a great job. And Steve Kerr talked about the unique position this franchise was in.
You know, we're just in a really unique spot through no one's fault, by the way. This is just the reality of sports and life and, you know, whatever. It's just had this amazing run, and we're at the tail end of it, and we're trying to hang on to it. It's a young man's game. We know that, you know, and we were that team 10 years ago. We were Oklahoma City, you know, we were Houston. We were just on the rise. And so now, you know, here we are, and we're on the decline. We know that. Steph and Draymond and I have talked about it, you know, together. It would be so irresponsible for this franchise to trade everything away for one, you know, one final swing at a title.
There's so much to pick apart there. And then I want to play this before we break, Shasky. Again, he says it's not time to push all the chips in. And I wonder how the fans react to this soundbite right here.
This does not feel like a time, in my estimation, I think, in Mike's and Steph's and Draymond's, where you just you push all the chips in the middle and take a wild swing. That would be so irresponsible. So we're aware of that, but what does that mean? It means we are where we are. We're in the middle of the pack with a bunch of teams that are either good enough or not good enough, and we have to find out if we are. And by good enough, that means, you know, can you climb your way into the playoffs and give yourself a chance? And that's what we're trying to do.
That's Steve Kerr yesterday with Willard and Dibbs, which you can find 95.7thegame.com. Of course, he joins Willard and Dibbs every single week on 95.7 The Game. It's a young man's league. All right. I just listening to that, Shasky, when he said it's a young man's league, automatically I thought, boy, the youngsters on this team did not get an opportunity to really help extend this run. Because if you say it's a young man's league, and I believe, trust me, I'm with that. It is a young man's league. But we've had young players who have failed, but whether they're not good enough. Maybe they're just not good enough, but it felt like over the last 3 years we've been waiting for the youngsters to get a crack to prove that they can help the old core, the old veterans, knowing that it's a young man's league, Shasky. And that's where I have a little bit of issue, where I'm thinking to myself, all the different lineup combinations, all the different youngsters have come through here. Yeah, it is a young man's league. So why didn't we empower the youngsters over the last 3 years?
It's the greatest question that I'll never have an answer to. You know, I think about different skill sets for different coaches. Some are phenomenal tacticians on a whiteboard. Some are unbelievable motivators, right? Not everyone is blessed with every skill. Some people are brilliant at offensive schemes, defensive schemes. In-game adjustments, whether it be lineups, combinations, timeouts, whatever. I just wonder, when Kerr lays his head down at night, what his biggest regret is over the last couple of seasons. And I bet a part of it is the handling of some of the youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if he doesn't look at himself, and we all have regrets in life, that doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean he's the worst coach in the world. It's just little things that you want, like a do-over on. And I just think about maybe the tolerance level and understanding that you have to play out the tough times to be able to take in that pot of gold at the end. You know, you don't get to reap the rewards without some of the dirt on your knees. Mm-hmm. And you got to sow the seeds early to be able to allow that plant to really grow. And I think that they kind of didn't have enough tolerance for quite some time. And now it's coming home to roost.
Yep.
And this feels like the first acknowledgement of, darn it, I think we kind of screwed up here.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Let's get into it. 888-957-9570. How do those comments hit you, Dub Nation? Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, Stephen Curry. To paraphrase them, it would be foolish to go all in on a championship this season and mortgage the future. Do you agree with that? Are you okay with this organization? If they do decide to stand pat, are you okay with them standing pat? I'm not sure a lot of people are. 888-957-9570. 9570 is the number. We're going to get into it. We'll replay the sound, Steve Kerr, because we're at a critical juncture in Warriors basketball. We really are. What do you do? Do you build around Steph? Do you start to trade pieces? What the hell do you do as the Warriors are 19-20 getting ready for the Timberwolves? That's all coming up in the game, brought to you by AC Transit.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune in to the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
All right, Day-Day, we'll see if he plays today. I'll pull up the injury report in just a second here on the Warriors Wednesday. Oof. Brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Truly a great story. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. We have Anthony Slater coming up at 8:30. Steve Weish, NFL Network, 9:20. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? We're just talking about Chase Center, the Bruce Mahoney game. Well, our roasters, our fans are going to be able to experience Chase Center.
Yeah.
Because the second annual 95.7 The Game knockout tournament is back. Win a chance to shoot hoops on the floor at Chase Center.
I'm out.
The throne reigning champion, Mark Grandy. I got to get in shape for this because by the end of the Final Four, Sask, I was huffing and puffing. The endurance was a problem.
Okay.
It's a young man's game.
It's a young man's game.
The contest to qualify.
Let me tell you something about
that. You're doing great.
I play knockout all the time at practice. Anyone can beat anyone.
Anybody can beat anybody.
Depending on the rules, like, are you allowed to, on a missed rebound or on a missed layup or whatever, are you allowed to throw the ball at the other ball? Are you allowed to hit the opponent's other ball? I want to know all the questions.
No doubt. No doubt.
Of the rules.
We'll get all the rules in place there. You can't knock out balls, I don't think. Not sure about that. So, all right, Kyle Anderson, questionable. Left hamstring soreness.
Just like he was questionable on that late foul that he took in the third quarter, which made no sense.
Yeah, they gave up 4 points there at the end of the third quarter when they were upset.
That was questionable.
Draymond Green, questionable. He's got the lower back issue, injury illness. Trayce Jackson-Davis, probable, which makes it likely that he's going to play. Kuminga's out. Gary Payton II will make his return with the left calf strain. And Brandon Podziemski is out as well with the right abdominal injury. For the Timberwolves, Rob Dillingham out, the rookie out of Kentucky. He's in the G League right now getting his game right.
Injury.
Yeah, Terrence Shannon Jr., the young man from Illinois, is out as well. But the core of the T-Wolves, their rotation, they're intact there. They're ready to roll tonight against the Golden State Warriors. But the knockout, don't forget, 2 weeks from Monday, each show will have a slot to give away for 3 weeks, and you have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. Again, we're going to qualify people every single day in the 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, and 4 p.m. hour, and it should be a lot of fun. 888-957-9570. Sask, I'm going to play it one more time. The Warriors' positioning as a franchise. Steve Kerr joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday, as he does every single week, as we've seen quotes from Draymond Green with Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports, Stephen Curry after their loss to Toronto, discussing the state of the franchise. Here is Steve Kerr yesterday on the position this franchise is in right now.
You know, we're just in a really unique spot, through no one's fault, by the way. This is just the reality of sports and life and, you know, whatever. It's just... had this amazing run, and we're at the tail end of it, and we're trying to hang on to it. It's a young man's game. We know that, you know, and we were that team 10 years ago. We were Oklahoma City, you know, we were Houston. We were just on the rise. And so now, you know, here we are, and we're on the decline. We know that. Steph and Draymond and I have talked about it, you know, together. It would be so irresponsible for this franchise to trade everything away for one, you know, one final swing at a title.
So, Shasky, you're the consumer, you're the fan, you're the voice of the fan, and you live and die with these teams, and you go crazy about the losses and the wins, and I love it. How does that message hit you?
I interpret it as him acknowledging that it's about over for him here. And I don't mean like, you know, everything has a shelf life, all right? Not everyone stays in a company for 55 years and retires happily at the very end, you know, and it's kumbaya. Mm-hmm. Bill Walsh spent about 10 years with the Niners.
Mm.
Okay. Steve Kerr's been here about 10 years. And I would say his 10 years during this era of the NBA is like being a 20-year coach in the NFL.
Right.
Because coaches are gone left and right in the in the NBA. Would you agree?
Yep. Yeah, the turnover's out of control.
It's guys crazy.
Getting fired after a year. Mike Brown just got an extension in the summertime. 5 months later, he's gone.
Yeah, so...
The one-year anniversary of Mike Brown bringing his laptop, by the way, to the podium was yesterday. Remember that?
That is... Wow.
Somebody said that to me. The one-year anniversary, he's gone now.
So, I mean, like, look, he's been here since 2014-2015, all right? And you're looking at 11 seasons. This is his 11th season. And to me, it just feels like he needs a fresh start. I think the organization needs a fresh start. And as a Warrior fan... I don't think, like, in his point about it, it's nobody's fault, I agree with that. Like, are there draft picks they've missed on? Of course there are.
Yep.
Is there discipline that should have been doled out for certain issues and situations? Absolutely. You know where I stand on that, and I don't need to get into it. Were there trades that should have been made that I disagree with, or trades that were made that I disagree with? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I do believe that organizations have, you know, life cycles, and you cycle up and you cycle down.
Yep.
Bill Belichick's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yep.
It was time.
It was time.
It was time for New England and Belichick to move on from each other.
Think about Andy Reid in Philly.
Exactly. You know, and I'm sure, you know, Greg Popovich and Spurs fans are ready at some point, or have been ready over the last 6 or 7 years for some sort of change. And it'll come. Believe me, it'll come. I don't think anything is forever in sports. And so, to me, this is an indication, as a Warrior fan, there's just no way we can really, truly move forward and find what the next great thing is if you got Steph,
right,
Steve, and Draymond together.
So with them, with their messaging.
Like that collaboration, right, and I don't think it's their fault.
Yeah.
They got to break that up. I don't know what. I don't know if it's Dre. I don't know if it's Steph. I don't know if it's Steve. Like, what? I don't want to trade Steph. But the point is like, I don't think this organization can move on holistically without one or two of these guys moving on.
Well, Steve Kerr has another year left on the deal. He has another year left on the deal. And I'm looking at the San Antonio situation. I'm looking at Greg Popovich, who's right now going through some health issues, and he's not coaching right now. That's an attractive job for anybody out there. What if Steve is thinking, like, boy, I could go back down to San Antonio, go coach Victor Wembanyama. Now, I don't want to assume and start rumors. I'm not doing that whatsoever. But he does have a year left on the deal. And remember how long it took him to agree on this extension this past season. I didn't know if it was going to happen. Now, the previous year, you had Bob Myers. You had Klay Thompson, right? Those two luminaries have moved on.
Yep.
Bob's at ESPN, Klay's in Dallas. And then you hear the positioning of Dre, Steph, and Steve. Now, does Joe Lacob agree with that sentiment? Does he agree that, hey, maybe we shouldn't flip everything to try to make a winner, but standing pat? How would standing pat sit with this fan base that is 19 and 20 right now?
I don't think it's going to sit well.
It's January. You know, the messaging almost feels like a white flag for this season, saying, yeah, we don't have enough to compete, so let's just chill for a second and figure out the rest later. I'm not sure if everybody's on board with that messaging. I'm very curious to see who's on board with this type of message.
I don't want them to stand pat. See, to me, there's only one or two paths that you take. You double down, and you do the reckless.
Right.
And I know he's saying, oh, you don't do it. You know what, Steve? Like, I know that you're a part of this decision-making, but, like, again, you only have 1 year left on your deal. Right. I don't know where you're going to be. Like, it's one of the two things. Either we are going to go deeper into the abyss and just try something, or we go into tank mode.
Yeah.
And I know people don't want to hear that, but, like, pick a direction. I don't think standing pat is acceptable.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next couple weeks here before the February 6th deadline. Let's go to Jeff all the way down to Dallas, Texas.
Hey, Jeff.
What's happening, man? Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think my biggest thing with the Golden State Warriors is the fact that it does really truly sound like Steve Kerr has thrown in the towel and he's kind of just waiting for his end to come. And I don't know if it's his attitude towards the team or his wacky lineups. I don't know. It almost seems like self-sabotage, especially when you have a player like Buddy Hield playing the kind of minutes that he does. I mean, the way that I see it, Buddy Hield is literally a net negative when he's on the court.
Who would you play?
Andrew Wiggins.
I agree with you, but who are you playing with all these injuries right now? That's not Buddy. I agree. He's not great, but they don't have better options. Would you at least acknowledge that? Right.
Honestly, I would. That's probably true, but I would lean more into more Kyle Anderson and Guy Santos minutes. Okay. I mean, it looked good when they were out there together. So I don't know what the strategy is on there. I would rather see Pat Spencer, honestly, than Buddy Hield.
I hear you. Buddy Hield is struggling. There's no doubt about it, but they need his shooting. And right now he's not shooting the ball well. I think what a lot of people, you know, if we're going to go into the deadline, and we got a few weeks left in the deadline, I hear so much about Moses Moody. I don't even know how good Moses Moody is. I love the young man. I love the person. But I don't know how good he is. I would like to see it, though.
See what?
I think everybody would like to see it. Just start Moody for the next 3 weeks and see what happens. If this is where we're at as an organization where you don't want to mortgage the future because you think it's reckless, and this is Steve Kerr's words, not mine, why not just flip? If it's a young man's game, well, let's see what one of our young men can do.
Well,
and that's Moses Moody. Let's see what he can do for 3 weeks.
I agree with you. But if they're like literally waving the white flag, well, then why is 34-year-old Kyle Anderson on this team? Why is 33-year-old Dennis Schroeder on this team? Why is, you know, journeyman Buddy Hield on this team?
Yep. Like, no doubt.
To his point, and I will agree with him, if that's what you're going to do and you're going to acknowledge your fate, which it's a rational thing to say. I get it. It's logical.
It's professional as hell.
It is. And I know people don't want to hear that. Sometimes the most obvious answer is the one that's the most difficult to come to grips with. Mm-hmm. But to me, then get rid of all the junk and don't waste the last 3 months of this year. And let's see what you got in a Guy Santos.
No doubt. If it's a young man's game, well, let's see what these young men have to offer on this team.
Yes.
Let's see if they can play at a high level in the NBA. I think that's the case. So we're going to get into this. Antoine in Nashville, we're going to get your thoughts on Steve Kerr. The other side, 888-957-9570. How do you feel, Dub Nation, about the mood of the team? The big three, that is. Steve, Steph, and Draymond. I'll read the Draymond quotes from the other day. I'll play the Steph sound. But they're all in lockstep here. Those three. They're all in lockstep saying that it is reckless to do anything that maybe standing pat is the best for this organization. They want to see this organization be in a good spot. But what is this a good spot to be just 500 in the NBA? Is it a good spot to be 11th place in the Western Conference right now when you do have Stephen Curry still playing at a high level?
You're power ranked 21st in Law Murray's power rankings, and you slip sliding away, Paul Simon.
From number 4 to 21.
I got a Kuminga thought regarding the rest of the year, and I want to get into it.
Oh, yeah, Kuminga will be back. Yeah, let's get into Kuminga. But I also want to play this stuff as well. A lot of Dub Nation as they take out the Minnesota Timberwolves. Antoine, stay on hold. We'll get you on the other side. And don't forget to tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Remember, tip-off today is at 6:30 p.m. It was moved from 5 to 6:30. 6:30 p.m. West Coast time. Tip-off between the Warriors and Minnesota, out in chilly Minnesota. Tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports for the best seat in the house. With Xfinity, bring on the good stuff. More coming up about the Dubs on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Dub Nation, it's Guy Santos here. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Sasky on 95.7 The Game.
My boy Guy Santos, brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Just going to play it again. I'm going to play Steph, and I'll play Steve. Here's Steph Curry. Steph Curry after Monday night's loss to the Toronto Raptors on what he wants to see happen before the trade deadline.
Mike understands, like, we want to win. We want to be in that position where we've always said that you want to be relevant in the championship type of chase. While, you know, we understand we're getting older and deeper into our careers and allowing some of the young guys to kind of blossom. But it doesn't mean you're getting desperate. It's better to kind of be patient, understand what that looks like. And I know, you know, Mike is always on the phone trying to figure it out. That's what a good GM does. Doesn't mean there's a deal on the table. Doesn't mean that you're desperate. Doesn't mean that you're just flinging, like I said, assets all the way around and being reckless with it.
All right, here's Steph Curry more on the responsibility to keep this franchise in a good place.
desperate trades or desperate, you know, moves that deplete the future. Like, there is a responsibility allowing, you know, keeping the franchise in a good space and good spot when it comes to where we leave this thing when we're done. It doesn't mean that you're not trying to get better. It doesn't mean that you're not active in any type of search to, you know, if you have an opportunity where a trade makes sense or even in the summer free agency makes sense, like, you want to continue to get better. Nobody wants to be stale or be in a situation where you're passing up opportunities, but it doesn't mean that you're desperate, you know, just flinging assets all around the place just because you want to do something.
And then here's Steve Kerr yesterday, Shasky, because I want you to react to all this. This is Steve Kerr yesterday with Willard or Dibs right here on 95.7 The Game.
This does not feel like a time, in my estimation, I think in Mike's and Steph's and Draymond's, where you just you push all the chips in the middle and take a wild swing. That would be so irresponsible. So we're aware of that, but what does that mean? It means we are where we are. We're in the middle of the pack with a bunch of teams that are either good enough or not good enough, and we have to find out if we are. And by good enough, that means, you know, can you climb your way into the playoffs and give yourself a chance? And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, I guess there's a couple questions off of that. Can they give themselves a chance to make the playoffs if Kuminga comes back healthy? But two, what does that messaging say to you, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570. Roasters as well. I asked Shasky last segment what that message means to him. He wants him to pick a direction. But when you hear that over from Steph and Steve, what else kind of boggles your mind off of those sentiments there from Steph and Steve?
I'm just confused. I'm confused of, like, why this pivot? There was a show back in the day called Change of Heart.
Yeah, I love Change of Heart. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, there was this show that used to be out there for Change of Heart. Yeah. And they would have different couples on. Right. And do you want to stay with your couple or do you want a change of heart and go in
awesome.
A different direction?
I love that show.
You did, right?
Oh, I want to be I told you I want to be a dating show host.
Did you?
It's my call.
Little love connection?
Blind Date, Chuck Woolery, whatever it is. Yeah. Roger Lodge.
Yeah, Roger Lodge, exactly. And so, you know, Change of Heart, what the hell happened? So just think about where we were just a couple years ago, okay? This is not that long ago. They had to trade James Wiseman for GP2 because they had to get incrementally better. Right? Am I wrong? Mm-hmm. I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. Like, they had to. All right. And I'm not even here saying that James Wiseman is great. I just think it's a microcosm of the thought process.
Right.
We are getting rid of a young player to get us a very specific role player who is here to help us win, because we're chasing wins.
Right.
Think about how they treated Klay Thompson. And look, I was at the forefront of saying his role should be adjusted.
Right.
So I want to raise my hand, because I was in alignment with the thought process of Klay's got to adjust his style of play because we are chasing wins. Again, this goes back to chasing wins. We are trying to grab at the big trophy. We are going to not retain Klay Thompson because we are not here chasing emotions. We're chasing wins.
Right.
We're not giving him a swan song contract, which I agreed with, because we're chasing wins. Why is Jordan Poole not here? Because we didn't think he was good enough to help us chase wins. And he didn't help us close out games down the stretch. And we were mad because the young player didn't have the IQ to help us chase wins when we got to the playoffs against the Lakers and the Kings. He was almost unplayable. Mm-hmm. So we went and got Chris Paul. And now, after all of these moves, and you acquire Buddy Hield, and you acquire Kyle Anderson, older players, veteran-type players.
The Anthony Melton, don't forget about that.
The Anthony Melton, to chase wins. Now, January 15th, just like 18 months later, of all these moves that I'm describing, you don't close with Kuminga for years.
Yeah.
Years.
Yep.
The second Wiggins comes back when he's been on a milk carton for months, Kuminga, I know you carried us for a couple months. Go back to the bench.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden you have a change of heart? What that? What? Like,
how do you think?
Am I the only one that's just kind of like.
No, I believe we're all stunned. No, we're all stunned. Like, I'm all stunned. I'm stunned at the timing of the comments.
I'm fine with you having a change of heart, but explain why.
But yeah, I'm. The timing of the comments is very interesting. I think it's they're being very logical and realistic about the current situation. They're not a championship team. I get that. I understand that. They're 11th place right now. They're 19-20. You are what your record says you are. After a 12-3 start, you're 7-17 in the last 24 games. It's not good enough. And when you look at the numbers here, I'm going to say some numbers for you, Shasky. It has been an all-time disaster over the last 24 games. In the last 24 games, the Warriors, Shasky, 7-17, that's tied for 23rd in the NBA. They're averaging 106 points per game. That is 27th in the NBA. Their field goal percentage in the last 24 games, 43%. That's 29th in the NBA. Three-point percentage, 35%. That's 22nd in the NBA. 105.1 offensive rating. That is 27th in the NBA. And their net rating is -5.9, which is 24th. And remember, they started the season at 12-3. They're 7-17. Those are their numbers in the last 24 games. So realistically, I understand where Steve, Steph, and Draymond are coming from. But it's just a weird pivot how it's happened on 3 days in a row on this road trip. And we haven't even come back home yet, where you have a game against the Wizards and Jordan Poole Saturday, the Boston Celtics on Monday, MLK Day. And you're thinking to yourself, why now ahead of the deadline? Are they prepping Dub Nation for a quiet deadline? Which will, look, it's going to infuriate a lot of fans. The online fan base is one thing. But everybody walking the street saying, are we just giving up? Because if you do that, and the fans know that, hey, we know we don't have a shot at the championship, we're kind of just cool with staying status quo, well, then we're going to get into conversations about ticket prices and food prices and the cost of going to a game, and people are not going to be happy, and even if you get some Miami Heat, I started to see some empty seats at the end of the third quarter. And you best believe that Joe Lacob, after watching that against Miami, those empty seats in the second half, after hearing Sacramento fans chant "light the beam" at Chase Center, he probably wanted to get some Jim Beam after that. Seriously, like light the beam? What? Let me get some beam. The yak, the brown stuff, you know, because I need it right now because Sacramento's rolling. This is a critical juncture, and I just wonder if Joe Lacob is on board with Steve, Steph, and, of course, Draymond Green on this messaging. So, where's Mike at with this messaging? It's just the timing of it, Shasky, just confuses me.
Back to the change of heart thing. If they make no move at the deadline, I'll give you the biggest transaction that they can make. It's that your actions actually speak louder than your words. Play the change of heart song while I say this. Because I want people to...
But what's wrong with Steve?
Wow.
You just made that?
There was a contestant
right
named Steve, and it worked perfectly, so I kept it.
Wow, that's next level. Bonte. The game was on change of heart.
What's wrong with Steve?
So good.
This is a great show.
All right. How many minutes per game does Victor Wembanyama play? And we're talking about a phenom.
If I had to guess, about 35, 40.
He's at 34 minutes a game.
34, okay.
What about Brandon Miller, who's not a phenom? But
Charlotte Hornet, rookie? He's got to play at least 30 to 34 minutes.
33 and a